The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, after having a week of rain and inches of it coming our way, I tell you what, it is nice to have a Sunday where we actually don't have any rain, and it looks like we're headed into possibly another beautiful week. But we are thankful. We know that the rain, that the God controls all things, and sometimes we don't totally understand why and what for, but we are very thankful in the midst of it that He does send us the rain. And we also, too, we very much appreciate all the sunshine that occurs at the same time. But I just want to bring you up to date, too, before we get into our teaching today, of just a few items. Again, we have Vital Men. We're at five different locations, and you can go on our website, vitalministries.org. Check that out. We have different men going to different locations, different communities right here in Oskaloosa. We have two offerings. First thing in the morning from 6:30 to 7:30 at the Vital Ministries building, which is directly straight across from the First Christian Church right here in Oskaloosa. We go there and we meet from 6:30 to 7:30. We're in the book of 1 Kings talking about followership. Just a great opportunity for men to come together. And also, too, again, we meet on Tuesday evening, again, from 6:30 to 8. And we get two offerings there, so if you can plug in, you want to be a part of that. Good group of men that come to both of these. And just encourage you to be a part of this. This is a great ministry. Men meeting other men, growing deeper in the Lord. And also, too, we have an opportunity to speak about our faith and grow together. So it's just some really, really good things. Also, too, we send out devotionals for Vital Men and Vital Women 5 days a week. You get these inspirations. My wife writes for the women, for Vital Men. And she does a beautiful job. I just encourage you. That gives you that nugget in the day, that inspiration that would help you in the fast-paced world that we live in. Also, two Vital Men, we send them out. We have five different writers, and each writer just does a fantastic job. The uniqueness of each writer, I love that portion of it because it's things that are going on in their life. We have different ones. I write on a Monday, and we have another gentleman by the Andy Baker. He's a missionary in Nicaragua. So we got somebody that's in the nations who's writing, a missionary. Then my son, who's a church planner, he writes on Wednesday and does a beautiful job. And then we got Clark, who writes right here from Oskaloosa. He deals with a lot of human resource things and with people and hands-on things of helping people communicate. And then we have another man by the name of Scott. He is an incredible outdoorsman, and he always will talk about pursuit of the trophy. So you get such individual, different ways of things that are going on that I think no matter who you are as a man, that one of these writers will speak directly to you and speak to your heart. So I just encourage you, again, that's vitalministries.org, devotional time. Great stuff is going out on the webpage for that. And lastly, yes, folks, it always takes money to make Vital Ministries, just like any ministry work. You can go to the Vital Ministries webpage. You can actually give online. We have a place for you for donations, which is very much needed. As we do the different things, is the radio. If you appreciate this radio ministry, that's one great way to get plugged in and send in monies to help us out. So we can, you know, like anybody else, we stay on the air. So I just encourage you to do a part of that as well. But today we're going to continue our series. I'm part two of the contest, the teaching in 1 Kings, the contest where light and darkness meet. And we see that meeting together in the nation. It's King Ahab versus Elijah, the battle of the gods. Why this is heard, this is a headline, is so important because it's God Himself is going to show the nation of Israel that He is God Almighty and is in full control of the earth of itself. But Elijah, he sets the stage on Mount Carmel on a 1,500 foot high limestone mountain, part of the Jezreel Valley. He tells King Ahab to take his 850 of his prophets to the top of the mountain, and let's see what God speaks, a true contest. And we've seen those different contests throughout the ages and the different times, and my mind goes to the Battle of the Tombstone, where Wyatt Earp takes on the Cowboys, and we see that battle that goes on, and then the different things that happen. But one of the greatest contests, I think, is coming yet is for ours, that I would say in our generation, that I would see in this century, I think is a pivotal point, is the 2020 election. And not to get political, folks, but this is important because this election is really big. I believe with all that's within me, it's greater than what we really can see, what I'd say in the physical, but in the spiritual. It's light and darkness colliding. What is the trueness of a nation who once believed that in the Constitution, and the men who wrote that Constitution believed in biblical principles. They believed in what God could do for a nation, that a freedom of speech and freedom of religion and pursuit of happiness, all those things that our Constitution was written on, is being challenged, folks, that I believe that no greater time that is important for as Christian believers. It's time for us to have a stand. It's time for us to have a voice and be in the know as we go into this political arena in 2020. And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this morning who to vote for and who not to vote for, but I do ask you this. This is an important contest that's coming up. It's time for us to be informed. It's time for us to speak out in a godly way and bring truth and love, but it's time for us to draw a line in the sand and know who we are in Christ and to allow to say that we want to continue to be a biblical nation. I love it when I see these different governors and these different politicians standing up for what is true and also, too, standing on the side of God. That's the nation who we are. And again, folks, it's important that this contest that's coming up in 2020 will be a great one. There's a piece of scripture this morning that I just want to bring to you that I think helps us to realize that God is in control of who comes in and is who he creates and puts in leadership. He says this in Daniel chapter 2:21. It says this in my Bible. He says, he changes times and seasons, and he disposes kings and raises others. He gives wisdom to the wise, and to the wise knowledge to the discernment. Man, God does all of this, folks. And I tell you what, when we come to a nation and we humble ourselves before God, I tell you what, folks, our greatest years could be yet to come, but we are under attack spiritually, and also, too, the enemy does not want to see this nation continue, just like it did in the time of Elijah in Israel, in the contest, the battle of the gods, where we don't have necessarily battle of the gods that are happening, but in a sense, folks, it is Jesus Christ against Satan. It's the kingdom of heaven that is yet to come, and we are in a big contest. But today we're going to look at in the Bible. We've spent so much time in 1 Kings that we're going to continue this part 2 contest. And if those of you are maybe you're traveling down the highway today and you're listening, I just want to say thank you. You've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. You've pulled in. I tell you what, don't change the channel. This is going to be some really good stuff this morning as you're traveling down the highway. I pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we talk about and dig in to see how the Bible actually comes alive for what happened over thousands of years ago, but yet it's still biblically true, and also too, how it helps us even today. And maybe today you're traveling on the way to church and you're just trusting in the Lord and you're on your way as a family and you're driving and you turn this in. I want to thank you for listening and being part of your day. And also, too, many of you are sitting at home. This is your church. And I want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of your day, part of your Sunday. And I pray that the Holy Spirit inspires us to speak to us and give us guidance. So this morning, those of you who are at home, we're in 1 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 20 through 24. My point number one is this. Which God? But let's look at the Bible and see exactly what is going on with this incredible contest between Elijah and King Ahab. In verse 20, it says this, "So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, 'How much longer will you waver hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him.' But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now, bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose which god, which one they wish to cut into pieces and lay on the wood of their altar. But without setting it on fire, I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood of the altar, but not set a fire to it. Then let's call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God. And the people agreed. I love this portion of the contest where it all begins. I can only imagine. I've been at Mount Carmel, and it's just an incredible place. Again, it's 1,500 feet above the Jezreel Valley, and it's just a majestic place as you go up there and you travel to the top of the mountain. And my mind goes there even this morning. I remember going to the top of that mountain, and the first time I was there, there was a thunderstorm, there was lightning cracking, and things were going on in my mind. It was exciting just to see it. And then finally, the storm passed, and we were able to look down into the valley, and you can see for miles. But when you get on top of that Mount Carmel, you'll see a statue of Elijah, and he's standing up there with the sword raised to the heavens, and below him is one of the Baal prophets that was about to take their life because of the contest of which God actually spoke. It's a majestic place. It's a place in my mind where I think it's a place of holy, where God came and showed man himself that he was truly the God of the universe, the God of all the nations. But I find it so interesting as we look at this portion of Scripture 20 through 24 this morning, as we jump in today, that we see this Elijah coming to King Ahab and asking him, which God will you serve? You've been riding in the middle for all these years. You've been undecisive. You've been part of Baal, but yet you still, in a way, still believe in God himself, and you cry out to both. But so which will you do? Which will you serve? And I think that's so important today. We got the same thing. We got the same people, what I call people on the fence. People who won't decide which will they serve. Will they serve God, or do they want to serve the enemy, Satan himself? And a lot of times we don't want to talk about that way, but you can't live on both worlds. You have to come off the fence. You have to make a decision. And that's so important for us to realize today, that God is sending a challenge to us as well. It says, my Bible says in Revelation, it talks about one of the churches. And Jesus speaks to the churches, and he says, which will you be? Will you be hot, or will you be cold? Make a choice, make a decision. Who will you serve this day? And in my mind, that's exactly what Elijah is doing. He's calling to the people of Israel. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on which God you will serve. And I think that's for us today, that we have those decisions of the idol worship that it's always been. But I want you to think about the idol worship that is really, truly, that's happening in our nation. And let's bring it home to our state. We got to look at what has become important. Is power and money more important than serving God, where we trust more of what we have in our county, our checkbook and our accounting statement, as opposed to trusting God as we give and give to him? And even to the point of, you know, I love football. I love watching the Friday Night Lights, to the college football on Saturday, to the NFL on Sunday, all good stuff. But folks, I think it's important to have it in priorities. I think it's important for us to where it becomes, to me, in my mind, where it's more important that I sit with 80,000 in a stadium than truly go and sit with a few hundred in church. Which do we worship? These are words, I think, this morning that challenge us, that make us go deeper into our faith of really getting an understanding. And I think in my own mind, as I look, and for me, it's as owning a business, and it's always pulling on me. It's always wanting. It's like a wanting more. But I'm learning to, as I get older, to be satisfied in the provision of what God has given me in my life. And one of the things that people have told me, Mike, you're really a fenceman. And what's that? You call people to make a choice of being on the fence or not. And if that be so, then let it be so. I'm thankful for that, because I get the opportunities to speak. Matter of fact, I love going in on Friday nights. I go up to Newton and I speak to the football team before they take the field. And over a week ago, I got a chance to speak to the Eddyville football team on their togetherness night. And I look forward to those opportunities, because you get a chance to speak about faith. You get to speak about what Jesus is doing in your life. And folks, I believe those are the opportunities, though, where we get a chance to talk to people about who God is in our lives, and that's exactly what's happened. Elijah says, and then they go in, and later on in this portion of, as we read in the Bible, he goes to the challenge. He says, let's set the table. You go over here, and you set up an altar, and I'm going to set up an altar. And they sacrifice these two bulls, and they lay them on top of the wood. And they say, now, we're not going to light a fire here. We're going to watch which God comes, because which God is going to come is going to light the fire. I love that. And it's funny as we read these next portions of the Bible, as Elijah challenges them to which God they will serve, because it comes to my point number two this morning, is go first. Let's continue reading in 1 Kings 18, 25 through 29. And this is what my Bible says. It says, then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, you go first, for are there many of you? Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call the name of your God, but do not set the fire to the wood. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, O Baal, answer us. But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar as they had made. It says in verse 27, about noontime, Elijah began mocking them. You'll have to shout louder, he scoffed, for surely he is God. Perhaps he is daydreaming, or he's relieving himself, or maybe he's away on a trip, or is asleep and needs to be awakened. So they shouted louder, following their normal custom. They cut themselves with knives and the swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no God, no reply, no response. Now I find this interesting. You see the very lunacy of religion within itself. You see, in the nation of Israel, who have seen some incredible things, they remember the moments of Moses when he parted the Red Sea to where Joshua goes and Jericho falls in the time of the walls that fall down and all these things that are happening. But now they've turned their eyes against God himself. They turn their eyes to idol worship. They've allowed another nation. They've allowed King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, to bring her influence in, her gods, bring in the Asherah poles and also the Baal worship, and actually allow a temple to come into the nation of Israel. They have fallen. They have gone to such a place of depravity that they believe that they can call on this God and he can start the fire. And I find it so interesting, the lunacy. You can only imagine. Think with me for a minute. Here's Elijah. He's leaning against the tree and he's watching it all happen. They begin in the morning till noon. They start chanting. They start calling out to the God. And as they go, they keep getting louder and louder and they call on him. And he doesn't listen. He's not answering. And I love this portion where Elijah sees all this stuff coming down and he kind of antagonizes them a little bit. He goes with them and he shares with them and he says, hey, maybe he doesn't hear you. Maybe he's daydreaming. Maybe you're not shouting loud enough. And maybe, you know what, maybe he's in the restroom. He's really not listening to you. And I find all this so interesting. And yet the lunacy continues. And it says they go until evening, and they go to the point of cutting themselves, where actually the blood is actually gushing out onto the ground and becomes red itself, not from the sacrifice of the bull, but from them as well, calling out to God with no avail. No God from Baal is listening. No God is setting the stage to hear the answer. And folks, I find it in our day that sometimes religion can get weird. We get to a place where we think that we have to go and we have to shout to God in our prayer time and we have to go and do all these crazy things in religion itself. And when I stand back and when people see us, and we even to the point of wanting to talk what I call religious. Folks, I do everything possible in my everyday ordinary living. As I go, as I do my life, as I build homes, I talk normal. I don't get churchy around the men that I work with or the people that come on or the homeowners I talk with. I talk normal, but I do have a statement of faith, and my men and the people who I work for know that I believe in Jesus Christ and that he is my Lord. But I don't get weird about it. I've had many opportunities. I had this past week where I had a young man, he's getting ready to start into a business in his life, and he's going and he's looking for direction, and he calls me up. He says, Mike, I'd like to talk to you. I want to learn a little bit from how to get started and the do's and the don'ts. And I met with this young man, and we sat down on the table. And we visited and we talked about the different things, and I helped him to let him know that branding is important and having an identity and all these things and about work ethic. But then there came this point of with this young man, I said, but I want to let you know one thing that's the most important part that I look at this. I looked at him straight in the face and I said this. I said, what I have learned in my time of business, that it all goes for God. That I work for God, that I go out and do what He calls me to do, that everything about my faith and this business that I deal with Sarig Builders is all the foundation of God Himself. Am I perfect in that, folks? I tell you what, those of you who have worked with me know that I'm not. I fail. I make mistakes. I say things that sometimes I wish I hadn't, and I have to go back and apologize for it. But my goal at the end of the day is to serve God in all that I do. And I looked at that young man and I shared that with him with passion. And I said with him, I said, hey, let's pray before you leave today. So I prayed over him. I asked for God's wisdom and discernment, and he left. And folks, it's in those opportunities where we get the chance where faith can be real, it can be true, and it doesn't have to be lunacy, and it doesn't have to be weird or flaky. And I think that's exactly what was going on. It was weird. It was flaky with the Baal worship. And Elijah saw it. But then it goes to point number three for us today is bring the fire. And I like this portion of scripture starting with verse 18, 30 through 39. It's one of my favorite portions of the Bible. It says this, and starting with verse 30. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took the 12 stones to represent each one of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons, and he piled wood on the altar, cut the bulls into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and over the wood. After he had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they had finished it, he says, do it a third time. So he did it again, and the water ran around the altar and filled the trench. Now I want to hold just a second before we finish this next portion. What's so significant about this, folks, is that the altar of the Lord had been broken down. The people had lost sight. They had allowed a temple worship of Baal. And folks, this is why it's so important, as our country is a country that's foundation is built on the Bible itself. I'm going to be really controversial here a little bit this morning, but it's on my heart, and I just think it's so important for us. Folks, we can't succumb to false gods. We can't pray that Buddha will get you saved and get you to the kingdom of heaven. It won't be the Muslims and the things that go on there about the temple worship that they do, and also to the other religions that come in, Islam and all of these false gods, these false pretenses, or even the yoga things that goes on in meditation. You might be saying, Mike, you are really pushing shaky ground. But folks, it comes a time that we have to stand on truth and what God says. And just like what it did in the day of Elijah is important even for today. Which will you believe? Will you believe in God the Father, who I believe created all things? Will you believe that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sins and to raise 3 days later? Will you believe it or you don't? Or will you believe that He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that speaks into our lives and changes us and transforms us so that we can live a better story? We have all these things that we have an opportunity to believe in, but you have to make a choice. The altars have been broken. But I love this portion, though. Elijah, he does some amazing things. Now remember, the drought is still going on. So he goes and tells them 3 times to go after water. And remember, there's no water around the mountain. There's no water at the bottom of the mountain. Only place that there's water is at the Mediterranean Sea. So 3 times he sends them back for water. He says, not only put it around it, but I want you to drench it. I want you to put it on the wood. I want you to put it on the meat. I want you to drench everything there, so no possibility that he who can believe that it can be quenched by fire because he believed. And I love that. And it says this in verse 38, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down to the ground and cried out to the Lord, He is God. Yes, He is Lord. The contest is over. The true God spoke. Baal and Asherah were quiet. Nothing happened. They were silent, and no matter what these men did, these false prophets did, they could not bring this God because he was not God. But the God of the universe, the God that creates all things, he showed his power. I love this portion in the Bible. God sends down the fire, and this isn't the first time that we're going to see Elijah see fire come down from the heavens. Folks, Elijah lived in a place in his life that he believed in the miraculous. And folks, I believe in the same God even today. The same God that does the miraculous can do the miraculous in your life. Maybe he won't send fire down to take a sacrifice out, but he can send a fire down in your soul and equip you in such a way that you see life differently. You walk differently. You live in a life of destiny and know who you are in Christ. There's nothing greater than hanging around men and women who know who they are in Jesus. And folks, I believe this is so important for us to realize that we serve a God who can bring down the fire. He can bring down the fire at the very souls of our lives and bring a revival. He can bring a place to, but the thing is, you'll see in Israel, they bowed down. The last time I saw our nation bow down was in 9/11, a great tragedy that hit our country. Folks, does it simply have to take a tragedy for us to get down and see who God is in our lives? He can make us change. He can make us be different people. And then in closing, in verse 40, it says this. Then Elijah, he commands, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one of them escape. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. See, the reason why he had to do that is because he had to destroy the paganism that happened. And folks, I'm not saying that we go out and kill people. I am not saying that at all. But we have to defeat the paganism that has come into our country. We have to silence these other gods, these other religions, and make it so we are a people that are founded on biblical principles. Will you make a choice to do that today? You can't be on one side or the other. You have to make a hard choice. You have to make a place in your own life of whether you believe or you don't. Folks, I don't know about you, but I pray that God sets my heart on fire and he puts me in a place that he can use me no matter where I am. And I thank him, but in order to lead, folks, you have to learn to follow. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. For him to lead, he had to follow God first. And out of following, the fire came. Let's pray. Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to speak here on the radio. And I pray that maybe somebody that today they're at a critical juncture in their life. They're on the fence. They're not hot nor they're cold. They're lukewarm. My Bible says that you will spit them out, Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that kind of life. I want to live a life that I'm on fire for you, that I make a difference wherever I go, whatever I do, the places I go to, the people I meet. Lord, I just pray that you would help people that they would want to be set on fire for you. For you are our Savior, you are our Lord, and most of all, God the Father, we love you and thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, again, it's exciting to be a part of this radio ministry on KBOA 104.9 FM. We're going to continue this series on followership. You are not going to want to miss next week as the rain comes and Elijah outruns a chariot. It's going to be an exciting next teaching. You won't want to miss this next teaching. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.